Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you that we can come into your presence and know that you love us, know that you are close to us, know that you have a desire to meet with us, God. And Lord, we are here because, Lord, we are hungry and thirsty for you. Lord, we want to know your heart, your will, Lord. We want to know your presence, Lord. We want to know the glory of knowing you. Lord, and as we are here together, Lord, we pray that you will come and by your Spirit just open our spiritual eyes that we may see you, that we may understand and know you, that we may grow to this place of absolute fulfillment in the knowledge of you. So we open ourselves up, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us through your word, and we pray that you will impart your life to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue sharing with that what God has been laying on my heart for a number of weeks. And it's just, again, I want to start off with Jeremiah 29 that I started off with yesterday, that says the following. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and know me. And I've realized there are so many people that know about God, but there are so few people that really know God. In the church today, there is so much knowledge, so much understanding of God. There is so much knowing about God, but there's a lack of knowing God. And the difference in it, there's just so much understanding. And I've noticed that there is a growing hunger within the church for knowing God. Not just understanding, not just knowing about God, but knowing God. There's a growing hunger within many people, and even within myself, there's this growing hunger to know God. Not just about God, not just understanding God, but to know God. To know God in His essence, in His fullness, in His person, in His presence. And it's from this place of a hunger and a thirst that I want to share about this place where understanding becomes knowing. There's a place where our understanding of God, who God is, becomes a knowing of God. Where the understanding becomes relationship. Where it's not just about a knowledge of God, but it's actually a knowing of God. And it's about this that I want to speak about here. In Exodus 33, Moses speaks to God, and this is this on this occasion where Moses was on the mountain when he received the law, and he was here's just a glimpse of that. As Moses is speaking to God, he says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you. That this is a cry from a heart of a man that wants to know God. He says, God, if I found favor in your sight, show me your ways that I may know you. And I want to speak about this place where the understanding becomes a knowing of God. And how do we get from our understanding to knowing? One of the places where understanding becomes knowing is in the presence of God. It's in the presence of God where the understanding of who God is, the God that we read of in the Bible, the God of creation, the God of Abram, the God of Moses, the God of Gideon, the God of David, the God of Jesus himself, when that becomes knowing, one of the places where our understanding of what we read becomes a knowing of that what we read is in the presence of God. When we come into the presence of God, the understanding becomes knowing. The other place where understanding becomes knowing is in the transformation of becoming. like Christ. That's another place where we're understanding of who God is, the revelation of who God is, everything in the Word that reveals the character and the nature of God, the essence of God. When that becomes a reality in us, when it becomes a knowing of God, is when we are transformed through the obedience to the Word. When we actually take hold of the Word of God, what it says about loving your enemies and forgiving and giving, and when we make it our own, there's something that happens in us that changes us, and the understanding of what's said in the Word of God becomes a reality in me. And it is through that transformational power of the Word of God, when I am changed to become more like Christ, that the understanding of it becomes a knowing of it. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. When you start to apply the Word in your life, how it transforms you. And it not just transforms you, it actually opens up your knowing of who God is. And it's about these two things that I would like to share this afternoon. Pastor Fred spoke about the assumed reality that so many actors, and the very good actors, you know, when they act a character, it's like they need to become the character. Not just to understand the character, but to reflect the character better. And they come into this assumed reality of trying to be like the Joker. Not just acting the Joker, but becoming the Joker. And those who are able to become like Julius Caesar or Hercules or whatever character they're trying to portray, those who are able to become like them act them so well. But it's more than just an understanding, it's a becoming. And you know what? This is the whole process of becoming like Christ. Isn't that true? That we are all meant to become like Christ. And you know, the amazing thing is the more we become like Him, the more we know Him. And that becoming like Christ, that Christ-likeness that needs to shape in us, is when we actually obey the truth. I mean, here in Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul writes about it. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And Paul has grown to this place of knowing God through obedience to God, through actually dying to himself through obedience to what the Word says, to who God is. And in that dying of self, he became someone else. In essence, it's like Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And he's not just speaking about something, you know, philosophical. He's speaking about a reality of knowing God. It's like God lives in me. The old Paul has died. It's now God that lives in me. It's a place of knowing. That Christ that needs to form in me is through the death of self and the obedience to the Word of God. It is living the example and the life of Christ. And that's something powerful about the Word of God. It is not just the hearing of the Word of God that changes us. It is actually the application of the Word of God that changes us. I mean, Jesus said here in Mark 8:34 that if anyone would want to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I mean, isn't that really the picture of repentance? We all know the meaning of repentance is an 180 degree turn from the way we used to live. In other words, we used to go and live our life in a particular way. You used to live our life according to the principles of this world, about what the world says about life and success and money and wealth and sex and relationships. We used to go in one particular direction, and we ourselves were the captain of the ship. We were the king. We were the lord of our lives. We did as we chose to do in accordance to the way of this world. And then at some point, by God's grace, the revelation of Christ came into our lives, and we turned around. That is what repentance is. I used to go in one particular way, and then I turned around and I faced the new king.
And I realized that Christ has come to save me from this direction that leads to death, and that He is King, He is Lord. So it's a 100 degree turn around to face a new King, and then I start to follow Him. I follow His word, I follow His example, I follow His voice. And the more as I follow Christ, the more I become like Him, the more I am changed. And every time I take a step closer to God in obedience to the example, the word and the voice of Christ, I am changed. But I'm not just changed, I know Him more in this process of moving. Do you see that? And you know what? Repentance is not this, that I used to go one direction, then I turn around and I declare Jesus is Lord, and then I do this. You know, there's so many Christians, or people that call themselves Christians, so many people in church, they used to go in a particular way, and then they turned around to declare Jesus as Lord, as King, as Master, and they just keep on going like this. And they understand a lot about God, but they don't grow in their knowing of Him, because they're not following Him. And it is in this following that we also grow in our knowing of God. You cannot grow in your relationship with God if you continue lying, if you continue stealing. There's something powerful that happens when we embrace who God is and we start to imitate Him. We start to apply what He says about life in our lives. And it's not just a change, it's a knowing. It's a knowing of God. I mean, Pastor Fred and myself have spent some time in Matthew chapter 7. And I want to read this again from verse 20. The context was Jesus speaking about, you know, how would you discern the wise from the foolish, really the false from the true. And he said in verse 20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. You maybe did great things in my name that has power and authority, but you did not follow me. I didn't know you. And then he continues in that context, and he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, these words of mine, and does them, practices them, I will liken them to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, the challenging thing about this parable that Jesus is speaking about, he's speaking about in the context of this is the ones that I know, the ones that follow me, the ones that not just hears my words, but applies my words. You see, it's not the hearing of the Word of God that changes us. It's the application of the Word of God that changes us. It's not the hearing of the Gospel that saves you. It's when you respond to the Gospel that saves you. It's when you respond to that revelation, the truth that's in the Gospel. That's why we do altar calls. That's why you can preach to a whole crowd and not everybody gets saved, but those who actually respond to it. Life is in the application of the Word of God. It's when we apply the Word of God that we are changed. And the challenging thing about this parable is both builders heard the Word of God. Both of them thought their house was secure. But only the one that applied the words of God's house stood the storm. And that is how we grow in our knowing of God. One of the places where understanding becomes knowing is through the application of the Word of God. And when we are changed by it. When we are changed about it. I remember, when I was still in London, we lived in a town, in Wimbledon. And I told the story. One day I was reversing out from my parking lot towards the rear, and I was on my way to intercession, and I was late, and I was reversing out, and there was a car that was illegally parked on a space that is not allowed to, and in my rear view mirror, I was only looking towards the areas where there are meant to be cars, and I didn't look to my right as I reversed, because there's not supposed to be a car there. But lo and behold, there was a BMW, you know, the Z4, Z3, the small little sport thing, right there, where it was not meant to be, and I reversed into it. And at first I was angry, because what is the car doing there? It's not meant to be there. It's not allowed to park there. And because it was there where it's not meant to be, I actually drove into it and I damaged the car, my own car, and I just realized, shucks, man, I'm late for intercession. This guy was wrong. He's not meant to be here. He took a risk of illegally parking here, and I'm late, and I'm going to go. And then as I was wanting to leave, God was speaking to me. And even though I didn't want to, I realized what I need to do is get out of my car, write down my number, and put it in the windscreen. So I did it. I said, I'm so sorry I scratched your car. Here is my number. Please call me. And then I left for intercession. And when I came back, the car was gone. The next day, I got the phone call. And then I was explaining to this guy, listen here, do you know where you parked? He says, yes, I know the area I'm here. Or do you realize you parked illegally? He says, yes, absolutely. But you drove into me. My car was stationary. And I was trying to explain to him, yes, but sir, you took the risk. And I have to now bear the consequences of your risk. He says, that might be true, but the reality is my car's damaged and I'm going on holiday. I need it fixed. And right there again, you know, I wanted, and then I remember what Jesus said, that if somebody forces you to walk 1 mile, walk two. If somebody sues you for your coat, give them your undergarment also. And I realized what Jesus was saying, and I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do this, and I said, you know, Lord, I will follow you. It doesn't make sense, but I will follow you. And I said, sir, I will fix your car. I will get it fixed as soon as I possibly can. And then I went to the panel beater with my car, because his car has been covered by the insurance, so my car also needs to be covered. And I went to the panel beater, and I showed them the damage. And he walked around the car, and he inspected all the damage. And I said, this and this and this is all part of the damage, but that dent there, that's an old dent. And he said, you shouldn't have told me that. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you didn't tell me that, we would have fixed it. The insurance would have covered it. But because it's an old dent, if you want us to fix it, you'll have to pay for it. You should not have told me. And I said, yes, sir, but that is the truth. He says, yeah, but you know, sometimes it's better just not to say that. And I told him, but that's what integrity is. He says, yes, but I've learned the less you say, the better it is. I said, yes, sir, but if that is the case, that's why integrity is so valuable. And he said, yeah, but you'll have to pay for this. I said, no, but that's fine. Then I'll pay for that. And I didn't want to do that, but there was something within me that had to die to be able to speak the truth, even though everything within me. And you know what's the amazing thing is, 2 weeks later, a week later, when I went to collect the car, he actually fixed the dent free of charge. And then when I went to inquire, he said, don't worry, it's covered. We fixed it for you. But you know, in this whole process of dying to myself, following Christ, and in through the application of that, something in me not just changed, but there was just some peace, some understanding of who God is, some joy in my heart as I left that place. Of understanding something about God, seeing something, knowing something about God that I didn't know before. And it's through the application, through the obedience of God, through that application in us, that we don't just change, but we get to know God. We get to hear His voice. I mean, if there's one area in my life that God speaks to me the most, you know, so many times I've realized in my life, I ask God for direction. I ask God for clarity. I ask God to speak to me about so many different things in life. And from time to time, He does. But if there's one area in my life, one question that I ask that God is faithfully, consistently speaking to me, is when I ask God to change me. Then I hear His voice very clearly. It is in that relationship with God, in the obedience of God, that we get to know Him. We get to hear His voice. We learn to discern our own thoughts from His thoughts. And then when I do ask for direction, when He do speak, I know when He speaks and when it's just my own thoughts. Because I've learned to distinguish when He speaks to me about myself. That needs to change. The other place that we move from understanding to knowing is in God's presence. When we experience God, when we come into His presence, then all of a sudden the understanding of God becomes a reality of God. It's in His presence when you meet with God personally, when you talk to each other, when it's a two-way conversation, when you know that God is here, that God is in your midst, when you experience His presence, when you not only share your heart, but when He shares His heart, when you hear His voice, it's in that place of God's presence, of His absolute nearness and knowing that He's here, and you speak and He responds. It's in that place, that intimate place of meeting with God, that understanding becomes knowing. Where God is not distant, but where God is close, when He's near. It's in that place that understanding becomes knowing, and it's that secret place, that tabernacle, that meeting place with God, that we are changed. And that understanding becomes knowing when we enter into His presence. And you know, and the amazing thing is, you know, for so many people that is a scary concept, and sometimes we only have glimpses of that, but the reality is we serve a living God that right from the beginning has a desire to be with His people. And God has a desire to be with us. He has a desire for us to be together in each other's company, in each other's presence. That is who God is. Right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, I shared yesterday, God created man in the likeness and the image of God. He made us different with the capacity to know Him. To know Him. And we read of that in Genesis, where at the fall, you know, it's so powerful. But just listen to this. Listen to the heart of God. Listen to the experience. Yeah. And when they heard the sound, you know, and so it's so interesting that the Hebrew word for sound is actually voice. So when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Do you see that? They literally heard God. They heard His voice. The presence of God coming towards them in the garden, and they hid themselves from the presence of God. The presence of God was coming towards them, and they hid themselves. But listen to this. Then the Lord God called out to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Where are you? Why are you hiding from My presence?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." The whole Bible is a revelation of a personal God that wants a personal relationship with us. Not a distant God, but a personal God. A God that loves His people. A God has a desire to be with us. mean, isn't that why God sent his son? Because there was stuff that hindered us from coming into his presence. There was sin. And there was a separation between man and God. And God sent his son to take away the division. To take away that what hindered, to tear the veil. I mean, isn't that so powerful when Christ died, when he spoke those words, "It is finished." When he took upon himself all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt, all the stuff that hindered us to come into God's presence. When that happened, the veil was torn. Right down the middle. The separation between man and God was removed. And Christ made a new and living way for us to enter into the presence of God. So that we can know him. Not just about him, but that we may know him. I want to share some practical steps just to meet with God. To go into his presence. From a place of hunger and thirst to have more, to know more, to understand and to know and to understand and to know God. Some very basic practical steps from the example of Moses and his life. In Exodus 33, verse 7 to 11, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of meeting. Moses took his tent. I hope you see that. Moses didn't take somebody else's tent. He took his own tent. Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the tent, far from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside of the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, each man stood at his tent at the door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that a pillar of cloud descended and stood by the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his own tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he returned to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Just want to read that again. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Who of you recognize the name Joshua? But still a young man. So Moses took his own tent. He didn't take somebody else's tent. He took his own tent outside of the camp. A bit different than these. Thanks, David. They pitch easier. But Moses pitched his own tent. He didn't take somebody else's tent. He took his own tent. He didn't need anybody else's tent. He just took his own tent and he took it outside of the camp, away from the distraction, away from the hustle and the bustle, away from listening ears. He took his own tent and he pitched it outside. And I want to encourage you. You don't need somebody else's tent. You don't need a church. You don't need a temple. You don't need a specific place. That's not what it's about. You know, it's taking your own tent. It's taking yourself. You don't need anything else but yourself. And take it outside of the camp. Take it outside the hustle and the bustle and all the distractions. And just find a secret place where you can be alone with God. You know what? In this world, in this life that we're living in, there's just so much distraction. There's just so much media. There's so much advertisement. There's so much music and noise and stuff going on all around. Every time if you leave your house, we are bombarded. If you put on the radio, the TV. As a matter of fact, people cannot even go about their day without putting on the TV and the radio. And when they come home, they cannot. Some people struggle to be quiet, to be silent. To be in silence. And everything around us just screams for noise. Put on the TV, put on the radio, put on the DVD, the CD, the MP3, the whatever. But you cannot meet with God there. You gotta move to where there is some peace, some quiet, some space, where there's no distraction. When Jesus speaks about that, he says, "But you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place." I mean, so many Christians struggle to meet with God. You know why? Because we are just, there's just so much noise. There's just so much stuff going on. And the first step to come into God's presence is just to find a spot of silence where there is no distraction. And that doesn't need to be a mountaintop. It doesn't need to be a tent. It doesn't need to be far away. It can be your room. It can be the kitchen table. It can be any place that there is silence where you can be alone with God. It can be in your car, driving to work. For some. But it's not a specific place. It's just a secret place. Free from interruption. Jesus often went to a secluded place. Maybe your car will not work in peak traffic, but but you can meet with God in your car. Just switch the radio off. And I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about meeting with God. I'm talking about His presence. In Luke 2, Jesus, now when it was day, He departed and went into a deserted place. In Luke 5 it says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." In Luke 6, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray." Do you note it's not limited to a specific place? It's just a secluded place. It's just a quiet place. It's just somewhere alone with God. It's a place of meeting with God. At that point, I just, you know, there's something awesome about God, and one of the attributes about God is his omnipresence, the omnipresence of God, the fact that God is everywhere, all the time, all of Himself, all at once. God is everywhere. He's not limited to a specific place. The omnipresence of God, the fact that God is everywhere, all the time, all of Himself, everywhere, all the time. And that is so important for us to understand something about God. God is spirit. He doesn't have one part here and another part there. It's not like God's hand is in England and his foot is in South Africa. He doesn't have parts, he's spirit. So he's everywhere. I mean, David writes about this. God is everywhere at once. He says in Psalm 139, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." You see, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. It does not mean God is in creation. That's pantheism. You know, the belief that God is in the tree, in the rock, in the little hassie wat rondhop, the little rabbit. That's pantheism. The fact that God is in stuff. No, God is not in stuff. God is everywhere. Everything is in God. God is everywhere. God is not in heaven. God is bigger than heaven. Heaven is where God is. Do you understand that? God is bigger than the universe. God is everywhere. God is bigger than creation. He's bigger than the entire universe. Heaven is where God is. Heaven and the universe is in God. I mean, Jeremiah 23 verse 24 says, Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? God is everywhere. God is everywhere. God is here. God is in this place. God is close. He's not distant. He's not far away that we cannot reach him. God is everywhere. God is close. God is here. In Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. The point is, God is not distant. He's everywhere. That's the point that I'm trying to make. God is everywhere. He's not distant. He's everywhere. Yes, God can reveal himself in one location, yet he's present simultaneously everywhere else in the universe. God is supernaturally present all the time in all places. He can choose to reveal himself more in one particular place, but it doesn't mean he's there and not here. People go to Bethel for the presence of God, but it's as if God is there. Or they go to Israel because God is there. No, God is everywhere. God is everywhere, all of himself, all the time. He chooses to manifest his presence at one place, maybe, yes. But it doesn't mean he's there and not somewhere else. That's why on a Sunday, we can all come together all across the world and we can experience God's presence. It's not like as if God is now in America and we stand in a queue and we've got to wait like a half an hour before God comes by South Africa and then we can experience God's presence and then he goes on. No, God is everywhere. All of himself, all the time. He chooses where he manifests his presence. But God is not far. He's not a distant God. He's close. He's everywhere. All the time. You don't need to wait for God. You don't need to go somewhere for God. God is here. God is right here. It's not distant. In Exodus 33, verse 9, "And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." I mean, it's such a beautiful picture. Moses entered his own tent. That's what Moses did. Moses entered his own tent. And as he did so, the presence of God came to the tent. It manifested. God manifested his presence at the tent. Moses went into his tent, and at the door of the tent, God's presence manifested. I mean, God responded to Moses. Do you see that? Every time Moses went into that place, that secret place, every time Moses went to the tent, God manifested his presence at the door of the tent. In James 4, verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I mean, so many times we misunderstand God's heart, how close He is, and His desire to meet with us. Every time Moses went to his tent, the presence of God manifested, and God talked to Moses. And the understanding of God became knowing. There's one thing that is so evident about God, is that He responds to those who seek Him. God responds to those who seek Him. That's why James, the scripture in James is so powerful when it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. We know Hebrews 4 that says that without faith it's impossible to please God, but those who come to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently or urgently, depending on your translation, seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God responds to those who seek Him. And I want to repeat this over and over again, because there needs to be a hunger and a thirst within us to diligently seek God. Because God responds to that. God responds to that. God responded to Moses every time he went to his tent. There's one thing that we need more than anything, and that thing is faith. The one thing that you need more than anything to come into God's presence is faith. And that's the first step in coming to God. It's the first step in experiencing God's presence. It's faith. I mean, Hebrews, we can maybe go there even. Hebrews, yeah, there it is. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God, do you see there? Anyone who comes to God, anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those, or He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, you see, that's the amazing thing about God, is that He chose in His wisdom that we approach Him in faith, and that will remain until the day that He returns and we see Him. So one of the first things that we need to come into His presence is faith. We need to believe that God exists. You need to believe that God is here. You need to believe when you go out there in that secret place, when you go out in the forest and you sit down the river, that you must believe that God exists. You must believe that He is real. That is one of the first essence of coming into God's presence, is faith. Believing that He's here. Believing that He's all around me. Believing that He's close to me. Believing that He wants to be with me, that He wants my heart, my life. And then I come into His presence with faith, and then you need to believe that anyone who comes to Him, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Because without faith, and throughout the Bible we read of people who had a relationship with God. I mean, that's why the Word of God is so powerful, because we see it in it. We see within the Word of God people that had a relationship with God, right from Abram, Moses, David, Gideon, Joshua. You can read all the stories of all the people in the Word of God, and they had a relationship with God. They had a relationship as close as they had a relationship with any other human being. They spoke to God. God spoke to them. They heard God's voice. They responded to God. They even reasoned with God, differed from God, argued with God. They had a relationship with God. You can have a relationship with God in the same way anyone else in the Word of God had. In the same way, you can come into God's presence with faith, seeking His face, and meet with Him. He's not distant. He's not in America. Is He? You need to have faith. You need to have diligence, that hunger and thirst that I spoke about yesterday when you come to God. Because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In our approach to know God, we must first believe that we can. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Second, that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Faith activates our spiritual senses. It's when you go down into the forest and you sit on that rock next to the river and you believe that God exists. You believe that He's near. You believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And it's in that place of faith that our spiritual senses are awakened. Like our natural senses that we see, we smell, we taste, we feel. We have spiritual senses. Faith activates those senses as we wait, as we seek, as we pray. And you know what? The more we encounter God, the more we know Him. There's nothing more fulfilling to experience God's presence. There's nothing more healing than God's presence. There's nothing more... What's the word that I'm looking for? There's nothing that gives us more boldness and courage than to hear the voice of God. I mean, we can do lots of things. We can face lots of challenges. But you know what? When you have a Word of God, when you have a Word of God, when you know that you were in the presence of God and God spoke to you, that Word of God makes you face the enemy of thousands, the giants, the Goliaths. It makes you walk on water. It just makes you do the impossible because God has spoken. There's something that the Word of God does in us. There's nothing more precious than that. And we all know that. We've all experienced, I trust, we all experienced those times when God has spoken to us. And we knew that God is speaking to us, and we know what it did to us. We know the life that it brought. We know the fulfillment and the healing and the encouragement and the life and how long we could run with it. But we can have it every day. We can come into God's presence every day. And it's in that place where we experience Him, when we speak with Him, when He speaks back to us, where understanding becomes knowing. When we come to God with the mysteries in the Word and our struggles to understand, and we speak to God and we say, God, I do not understand this. And then God speaks. And He reveals and He opens our understand, the eyes of our understanding. And all of a sudden, the Word becomes alive. And all of a sudden, God leads us to the answers in His Word. And it just changes you. You leave there differently because you've met with God. You've gained a greater knowing of Him. And I'm sharing this because that's our life. And so many times in this world we become so distracted, so conditioned. We are the microwave generation. We want to put in the popcorn for 30 seconds and then take it out. And voila, you know, you've got popcorn. And we so many times rush into our time with God and we rush out. We rush in and we quickly read a piece and we quickly pray and then we go on with our day. And we can do this for months. And then sadly something challenging happens or a big decision needs to be made. And then, only then, we start to seek God and we fast and we pray and we wait and we ask and we are diligent and we struggle to hear His voice. We don't know when He speaks, if He spoke, didn't He speak, was it Him, was it me? Because we just do it so seldom. But we can come to God every day with faith, seeking His presence. And the more you do that, the more you grow in knowing. And relationship with God becomes right just that, a relationship. Not just a knowing about God, but knowing God. Where all of a sudden the Word becomes alive and He starts to impart His heart behind it. And life is not the same. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to make it a pursuit in life. That this is the thing that gives significance to your life. The thing that gives significance to your life is that you understand and know God. Because it's in that place that there is life. It's in that place that we have purpose. It's in that place that we have direction. It's in that place that we have fulfillment, meaning, and everything else. That's why we love to come to worship. Just to come into His presence. Just to be. I mean, all of a sudden, all the other stuff doesn't matter. We've all experienced that. I want to encourage you. I hope I can encourage you. And challenge you to do it. Practically find a quiet spot. Find a quiet spot. Take the Word of God with you. Take the Word of God. And then just open the Word. Doesn't matter, we have a reading plan or... Just take the Word of God. Find a quiet spot. Open the Word and start to pray in the Spirit. Close your eyes. And speak to God as if He's there. Not out there, right here. I mean, that's the amazing thing about nature. The created Word of God. There's just something about, yes, you can do it in your room. Yes, you can do it in your car. Yes, you can do it in the kitchen table. But there's just something so awesome being out in nature, isn't it? Where you're surrounded by the created Word of God. And just close your eyes and just believe. You know, one of my favorite things to do is just to sit and pray in the Spirit. Just not with my understanding. Just pray in the Spirit until I experience God's presence. I remember that as a young man when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was such an vivid, awesome experience. Every morning I woke up and I went to this outside my hostel. There was a little stream beneath willow trees that was secluded and hidden from everybody. And I used to sit there and just pray in the Spirit. was just such an awesome experience, and I just used to pray in the Spirit until I experienced God's presence. And when I experienced His presence, then I start to pray with my understanding. And it is such, and I want to encourage you, just go out there, find a spot, take the Word of God, and just pray in the Spirit until you experience God's closeness, His nearness, and then start to speak to Him. Start to read your Word. Start to talk to Him about the things that you read, and the things that you understand, and the things that you don't understand, and just talk to Him. And allow Him to speak to you. Don't just rush in there, you know, I've got 5 minutes and I'm going to go in and go out. There's a place for that. But I want to encourage you. Make this thing what gives significance to your life. That you understand and know Him. May this be the thing that gives significance to your life. I want to end up with Exodus 33, verse 9 again. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked to Moses. Moses entered the tent, and God stood at the door. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me." Father, we just want to worship you, Lord, for your greatness, for your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your patience, your love for us, God. For your desire to be with us, God, that you have given everything You've given your Son, God, to remove everything that hindered us to come into your presence. Father, you sent your Son, and Lord, you declared that it is finished. You took upon yourself everything that prevented us, the veil that separated us, was torn forever, that we may enter into the Holy of Holies without fear. Not just once a year, not just once a year like the high priest, but that we can enter into your presence every time, every day. Thank you, Father, that there is fullness of joy in your presence, that there is healing, that there's life, that there's purpose, there's identity, there's life in your purpose, there's life in your word, there's life in your presence.
Lord, thank you that you stand at the door of our hearts every time. Every time we call on your name. Every time we go to that secret place. Lord, I pray that you will make us hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty for your presence. God, I pray, Lord, that each and every heart here today, Lord, will not be satisfied with anything else. Lord, I pray for a hunger and a thirst, Lord, a hunger and a thirst within us for your presence. Lord, I pray for a diligence within us, Lord. To seek you, God, until we find you. That we will not be satisfied with good theology. We will not be satisfied with great sermons. We will not be satisfied with great worship and fellowship and meetings and events, God. That we will only be satisfied when we meet with you. God, I pray that every time we come to you, Lord, I pray that we may receive from your life. God, and I thank you, God, that in this place of meeting with you, there is life, there is abundance, there's fullness, there's joy, there's direction, there's purpose, there's meaning. So God, today I just pray, Lord, for that hunger and thirst in us again, Lord. To put you first in our lives, Lord. To pursue you more than anything else, Lord. To seek you until we find you, Lord. To seek and to keep on seeking. To knock and to keep on knocking. To ask and to keep on asking, God. Lord, I pray for each and every person here that the thing that will give us significance is this. That we understand and know you. I want to encourage you today as we go about our free time that you would take some time. That you would start today with a journey of discovering more of God. You just take some time and you just go find a spot, find a secret place, find a place where you can just talk to God, where you can just respond to God and to His Word. And you just say, Lord, I want more of you, God. I want to experience your presence, God. And where you just find that spot and you just wait upon God with your Word and you just let Him speak to you. You start to exercise your faith and your spiritual senses until you hear Him speak to you. So I want to end off this time and I want to just invite you to make use of this time and just go walk. Just go find a spot and just go spend time with Him. I want to encourage you that the things that God says to you, the things that you hear God speak, that you write it down, that you treasure the things that God speaks to you. That you treasure those things. And if God challenges you that you may have the boldness, the courage to actually apply those things. And the things that you don't understand, to reason it through with God until He gives you understanding, but that you may have the boldness and the courage to apply it in your life. So I'm gonna end here in my tent. Before my arms collapse. But I want to encourage you to go. find a spot, spend some time with you. Amen. Amen.